We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
All right, the weather forecast tonight is supposed to be improving, which is why the Yankees did move the game from today until tonight. They had scheduled the game today so that they could get the game in before the Jewish holiday. They had to move it back because they thought it gave them a better window to play the game. The forecast for tonight is improving. There's not supposed to be rain after 6 this evening, so sounds like the Yankees and Red Sox will play. The Yankees will have to win all three games, which for them is a tall order right now, the way they've been playing. As you heard me and have seen me comment recently that they are the worst 90-win team in Yankee history, in my estimation, in recent months. Now, there have been a million teams, I think 62 Yankee teams, that have won 90 or more games, and I actually think this might be the worst one I've seen. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to stay that. Chapman coming back Thursday, Judge coming back today. Maybe these guys are going to snap too and things are going to get better, but they have not been a good team for a while. And here come the Red Sox, and we know the Red Sox are one game from clinching on Yankee Stadium soil, which makes the front-running Red Sox fans, of which there are many, including one on the phone right now in Bill Simmons, who, you know, they become completely intolerable. But right now it's their day. It's their regular season. Now, it's a long October, but right now they do get to, you know, watch the Red Sox sip champagne here, but hopefully not at the stadium this evening. Bill, welcome. How are you?
I heard that they delayed the game for 6 hours to give the cortisone shot and Aaron Judge's wrist a little more time to.
Yeah, that might be.
I don't know if that's true.
That or Sale, one or the other. One or the other. So,
Sale's fine. Sale's
fine.
Now.
Hey, listen, Sale's fine. In your dream, listen, Judge is not healthy, Chapman's not healthy, and Sale is not healthy. He has spent two trips on the DL recently. He is as fragile as they come right now, and you know it.
This is a total Belichick move. They're just trying to get him to the playoffs. That's it. They don't want to waste any regular season innings.
Yes,
I'm fine with it.
How confident are you right now after a great regular season that they will have a big October?
Well, all right, so I'm going to go glass half empty for a second. The offense hasn't been that good since the All-Star break. I think they only have like 55 homers, and I think Oakland has 80. Like
Oakland's been great, and Tampa's been great. Yeah,
they don't have the same power kind of explosiveness that they've had. And we're talking 2 months now. Like the All-Star break was 9 weeks ago. So this is a pretty big sample size. The biggest thing that's changed from a glass half full standpoint, David Price, who I would have driven to the airport and packed his bags for him 4 months ago to get him not only off the salary cap, but just out of our lives. He's actually been pretty good. His stats are like shockingly good, but there's a confidence to him and the pitches that he has. It's just like, I actually believe that he could be a good game to a game.
Well, nobody trusts, but you don't trust him, and the Yankees always owned him. So, I mean, that's always been a big deal.
He's won my trust a little bit, I got to say. I got to hand it to him. I don't dread the big David Price start anymore, and I think
the bullpen is your issue. That is your issue.
Yes.
I don't worry about the offense, and your speed is good, and you got some great clutch hitters at the top of the lineup who I love, but I worry about your bullpen. I think that is the issue. And there will be a lot of pressure on the Red Sox in the postseason, which comes with the territory. Now, the Yankees first have to get through the wild card game, which could easily be in Oakland, because the Yankees have to go to Tampa for four games, and Tampa is not only playing great, but they would love to hurt the Yankees in any way possible. And that last week, the fascinating thing will be this. What do the Red Sox do those last three games when the Yankees might need wins to keep Oakland away and make the game at Yankee Stadium, will the Red Sox do anything to force the Yankees onto a trip and a plane to Oakland?
I don't know. You know, the Red Sox have some history stuff at stake. They have a chance to win more than 110 games. Like, this is I couldn't believe this. This seemed impossible, but no Red Sox team had won 100 games since 1946, which I just would have assumed it happened, but it just hadn't. And I think the way Cora has managed this team all year, I really find it hard to believe that he would just mail in the last week of the season. I don't think he's wired.
I don't think he will. And I think also the fact that it's the Yankees and they can actually influence things. And then he wants to sharpen his team up. He'll give them a little rest before that, I'm sure, whatever the series is before that. And then he can have them play those last couple of games. And Oakland's got an easier schedule than the Yankees. Now, Tampa hurt them last week, but Tampa's going to hurt the Yankees. Tampa's been playing brilliantly. They've been pitching brilliantly. And the Yankees have four games at Tampa before they go to Boston for that last weekend. Those games are going to be very hard for them. They really are.
I took my son to Tampa in mid-August. We saw two Red Sox games there. And it's like, you know, two-thirds Red Sox fans. It just seemed like, oh, yeah, we'll win some games in Tampa. It'll be great. And Tampa won both of the games we went to.
Yep.
And they just had these guys coming up. You haven't heard like half of them, but they definitely had a little mojo to them. And they do have some spoiler potential. Oakland is the one. Yes. I think Oakland's legit. This is a pretty long sample size now.
No, they're a good team. They got a lot of power and a good bullpen. A very good bullpen. They're a dangerous team. They could win the wild card game, and they could beat somebody in the playoffs. Now, Oakland's always been terrible in the postseason. We know that. But I think this could be a different team. Cleveland's been very quiet for a long time and has had almost a nothing season because it's been so easy. But I think they're dangerous. I think any of the American League teams, I don't think Oakland could get to the World Series. I think the other four could. But right now, if you're asking me, gun to my head, do I think the Yankees will get to the World Series? I do not think they're complete this year, and I don't think they'll get everything put back together. They could win a series. They should be able to win the wild card game if it's at Yankee Stadium, but they could win a series, but I don't see them going to the series this year with this team. They've had too many issues down the stretch of the season.
Well, Cleveland has Andrew Miller's coming back this week. The guy Brad Hand they got from the National League, I think he's fantastic.
I actually have him on my fantasy team.
He's one of the best three or four pitchers in coming out of the bullpen in the AL playoffs, I think. And certainly somebody that I wish the Red Sox had had, because you mentioned earlier, you know, the eighth inning has been a house of horrors for the Red Sox this whole season. It was actually bad the first half of the season, and the stats in the second half are much worse, and they don't know really what to do. It's gotten to the point that people are starting to wonder if Steven Wright, who used to be a starter, who blew out his knee last year and has come back, who's a knuckleballer, people are wondering if he's going to be the eighth inning pitcher when we actually start to get closer to October, because they've been that desperate to find anybody reliable. And the people that have pitched really well are just people, you know, like somebody like Matt Barnes, who's never, it's just different. You know what it's like. You've been watching baseball your whole life. When it gets to October and everything slows down and
completely
it's 3-2 in the eighth and it's Yankee Stadium and the crowd's going nuts, like there's only a few guys you're going to trust.
And they don't have
that second guy.
There's going to be a moment, too, in the playoffs where either the Yankees or the Red Sox are going to rue the moment that Donaldson is on the Indians, because you know he's going to do something. I mean, he's going to do something. And they all complained and everything because they thought he should have been injured and this and that. And was he really hurt? And should he have been eligible? But, you know, he can hit. And you could see him being a factor, you know, down the stretch of this season. Could be interesting. They're an interesting team, the Indians, and I think they had such a heartbreaking loss last year. I mean, they played so well and they played so miserably against the Yankees. I think it's interesting. I think you guys have played so well. It's hard to carry that. It really is. I remember the 98 Yankees. The 98 Yankees, and this is why El Duque was great. The 98 Yankees were down 2-1 to the Indians, and I'm telling you, they were as tight as a drum. They could not have been tighter. And El Duque, being El Duque, They snapped through that game. They never looked back, never lost another game, won the whole thing, and rolled as you expected them. But they had their moment right there, and it was 2-1 down to the Indians. And on a Saturday, El Duque pitched them home, as he often did in the postseason, and that was a big difference. It turned everything around. So it can happen. You know, there's going to be that moment of crisis in the postseason. You know it. It's always there. It's just it's part of it. But they have had a sensational season. I mean, you know, no one would have ever expected the performance, you know, they got out of Martinez, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and they were much better offensively, I thought, the first half of the season. Because Benintendi, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's hiding an injury or he had some sort of weird sophomore wall or what. But
well, he hit tonight. You know that. He hits in this park. He hits in this park.
Well,
you know that.
Yeah. Maybe that park will get him going. I think he has 2 homers since the All-Star break. He's just not hitting for power anymore. And I think the first half of the season, Martinez and Betts, and then Benintendi, who was really hitting the crap out of the ball in May and June, they had these 3 dudes that you just always felt like something was going to happen when one of those guys were up. The Martinez versus Betts for MVP has been a fascinating old school, new school conversation, because the new school fans are just like, it has to be Betts. Betts has to be the MVP because of what he does defensively. And, you know, like he has a chance to be a 10-win player this year from the advanced metrics, all that stuff. But I think Martinez has just been more reliable offensively the whole year.
And I love both of them, and I love Betts.
I don't know what to do.
I love Betts.
I don't know what the answer is, Mike.
I think Martinez. I love Betts. Betts could easily be my favorite player in the sport. That's how much I like him. But I'll tell you this. I think Martinez made the team this year, and he's the MVP. I really think he's been the guy who has gotten so many big hits and has been so important. He kind of changed their image. He really did. He kind of made the entire, sometimes guys come in and make the, I'll go back a long time. Orlando Cepeda, 67 Cardinals.
Wow.
Made the team. Absolutely made, came over from the Giants and made the team.
Right.
Don Clendenin, not to the same magnitude, but 69 Mets, Don Clendenin changed the whole Met lineup and changed the team. I mean, he didn't do enough to win the MVP that year, but another guy, Martinez changed the Red Sox. He changed them into a different team. I really believe that.
Mike, you just lost all the millennials, but that's fine. I
that's
understood
okay.
Everything
yeah.
you just said.
Absolutely.
Hey, the Red Sox in 86 had this one. It was just this missing kind of piece that you trusted in these big spots. The thing with Martinez, other than maybe Ortiz, and I even think Martinez this year might have even been better at it. He's the master of like the put the game away hit.
Yep.
Where it's like 4-2, 2 guys on, he homers. Or it's 5-2, guy on second, singles the guy in. He's driven the nail into so many coffins. And it's a really fun baseball discussion because Betts is the most outstanding player in the American League. Like by any metric, he's the best statistical player in the league. He does the most offensively, defensively, his speed, everything. But if you're just saying valuable and you're not talking about the stats as much as just the impact on the team,
yep.
The impact of what Martinez has done as the cleanup hitter, it's hard for me to think Betts was more valuable than him. But I would still
I don't think he does. I think Martinez is just, you know, with what he's done. And listen, I understand Betts' year is terrific. They're both terrific. I mean, they're both worthy of being MVPs. No question, absolutely no question about it. But I'm not going to give him the MVP based on defense. I'm not going to do that. And I think one guy had more impact. So I think it's close, but I'd give it to Martinez.
Well, wait a second. We never really talked about Judge here because I can't take the Yankees seriously at all if he's not going to be healthy, and I don't like wrist injuries. Both
and I don't know if he is or he's not. I can't tell you. You know, he just came back now. We haven't even seen him swing in a game till tonight. We don't know. I think we're not going to know if this is going to affect him for a couple of weeks here.
Doesn't seem good.
It doesn't. It took him a long time to come back. The Yankees did not think this was going to take this long. And then Judge really took control of it, it's my understanding, and said he wasn't coming back until he was pain-free. They swear he's pain-free now. He has swung the bat well in batting practice, but that doesn't mean anything. It's when he gets jammed by a 99-mile-an-hour pitch. That'll be the determining factor. We don't know. And without him, they're not the same team. But really, there's a lot of things about them that isn't right now. Chapman's not right.
Right.
And Betances doesn't close well. He sets up well. Nope. He doesn't close well. Britton hasn't been as good as they thought he would be. Stanton's been miserable since Judge went out. Didi you can count on. But their infield defense has been atrocious, as good as Andujar has been, and he's been great with the bat. He cannot field. So their infield defense has been suspect. Their catching has been suspect with Sanchez. Their outfield defense is excellent. But they've lost a lot of this stuff they had early in the season. And frankly, they've been a bad team for a couple of months. They need to really turn it around to have any chance to do anything in the postseason. Right now, they have not been a good team for 2 months. I mean, they've really not only been good, they've been a pretty miserable team for 2 months.
I have to ask you a personal question. Did you have to delete the Gleyber Torres Hall of Fame speech that you wrote for him for 2000?
No, I don't have
35.
Any.
Did you delete it, or is it still in your heart?
I actually have no problems with him. I actually believe that he just has to learn. Physically, he has incredible, incredible talent. I have no doubt in my mind how good a player he's going to be. The question, he just needs to mature. Andujar has done a much better job of understanding, despite the fact he's a DH, he has done a much better job of understanding what it means to be an everyday player and to be an everyday professional than Torres has. Torres had a little more immaturity in him than I thought he did. But here's the thing, and I think you'll find this out in a big game, late in the game, the guy you don't want to see if you're the opponent is Torres. He will have the best at bat, and he will do whatever he needs to do to get the job done, whether it's smacking in the right field.
You know I'm the most excited for Brett Gardner, though.
Yeah. Well, listen, and he might not even play. That's amazing. McCutchen right now is, you know, I asked Boone that, and that's going to be very, very a big cause of conversation. Right now, McCutchen's going to play over Gaudy, and a lot of Yankee fans are not going to be happy with that.
Ooh, I'm happy with it. Sign me up for that plan.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a big issue. All right, let's talk a little football here.
Wait, hold on. I have one more Yankee question.
Go ahead.
Elimination game at Fenway. How many starters do you trust in the Yankees? Tanaka and who else?
I trust Tanaka. Right now, I only trust Tanaka and Happ, and I give the start to Tanaka because Happ will beat you with six innings, and his stuff will be pretty good, but he'll pitch smart. Tanaka can have seven innings of absolute lights out, you can't touch him stuff. And I think he's been a good big game pitcher. I don't give it to Severino. I give Tanaka the start.
The fact that J.A. Happ was the second starter you mentioned tells me that the Yankee season is over.
Well, Severino just hasn't been. Listen, I can't trust Severino right now. I got to be honest. You're asking me the truth. I can't trust him right now. I know, but let me tell you this. The reason I'm saying that, you might not be aware of this, and there'd be no reason you would be. Tanaka of late has been untouchable.
I'm very aware.
He's been great. So that's why I'm picking Tanaka. Could I live with Severino in a game? He'd be my third choice right now, but I don't know what game I'm getting out of him. I can get the good game, the bad game. Happ knows how to pitch. He's very smart. He's out there. Happ's deal is this: six innings, and I'm throwing you the car keys. That's basically it. I'm going six, and I'm throwing you the keys, and take me home. That's it. He's not going out for the seventh. I don't care what the score is. He's not going out for the seventh. Tanaka can be lights out.
Game two, you need six innings out of that guy, and then the Britton.
Well, Happ will do that. Happ will do that. You know, Britton hasn't been great, and Betances, if he's in the eighth, he's wonderful. If he's in the ninth, he's shaky. And I'll tell you this, you can't trust Chapman right now because he has some days where I think that leg hurts so much that he can't pitch. And he's had that happen to him in Fenway. He had it happen to him against the Mets where he just loses the plate completely. I don't trust him being healthy right now. Last year, he got lights out. You know, this year he hasn't.
I'm very concerned you guys are going to duck the Red Sox this season and just throw that wild card game away. And that's it. You lose in Oakland. Then we win the World Series.
How much do you want the Yankees to lose? How much do you want the Yankees to lose the wild card game?
I want to play the Yankees.
Oh, you do?
I don't want you to be 2 months like, you won the World Series, but you didn't play the Yankees.
Oh, so
I don't want to hear that.
You're saying boldly right now you want to play the Yankees.
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope. Listen, we all hope that's the case. And I think it will be the case. I do believe that. First of all, as you know, Oakland is just cursed in the postseason. They never win. I mean, never. So as good as they've been this year, I still don't trust them there. But listen, the
Yankees...
Well,
the other thing is that Chris Davis, who's on pace to hit about 100 homers, has been in a free fall for about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks.
Well, it had to happen.
And that was the guy that was really... It had to happen. It was a lot of averages, but... They need to get him going because
otherwise he was going to be Roger Maris this year. I mean, that's where he was headed.
Headed for 60 homers. It was happening. It was in a vacuum. Nobody even realized it was happening. That Oakland, I don't think you want to play the wild game there. It's such a wild card game. It's such
a
weird atmosphere.
You need to play it here. No, the Yankees
need to play it in New York.
Yankees need to play it here. All right, let's talk some 2-week football. How concerned? Forget the Giants right now because they are just a complete mess with the offensive line. Talk about how much are you worried about what Jacksonville did to the Pats on Sunday?
As you know, Mike, I don't panic about the Patriots in September. We've been here many times with this team. I think that a couple things were a little concerning. One is that they have a lot of guys who have just not been in big games in big spots, right? You talk about the left tackle.
Yep.
You talk about Philip Dorsett, Sony Michel, the rookie running back.
Who's going to be really good, too.
Yeah, at some point. Cordarrelle Patterson's, they're running third and eighth for him. And it was just a lot of guys that Eric Rowe is on single coverage against Keelan Cole. And it's just a lot of guys that we haven't worked with before. So that was one thing. Brady doesn't have his security blanket. 2007, whether it was Welker, whether it was Edelman, whether it was even Amendola last year, that guy on 3rd and 7 who just gets open. And Gronk, it's nearing the end of the prime. I'll put it that way. I think he might have one more indestructible force year left, but Jacksonville really just doubled him and completely took out of the game. He just wasn't open.
They're good. They're good. They're a good team. Coughlin has built there the team he wants, and they can run it. They have a very good coaching on a lot of levels. They have Coughlin. They have a head coach who knows what he's doing. They have assistant coaches who know what they're doing. And other than the quarterback, their team is really good. The quarterback, if he doesn't get in the way, and he didn't on Sunday, if he doesn't get in the way, and I'll tell you something. If the foul of play hadn't happened, that game was going to get interesting.
Yeah, it's a bad match for the Pats in this respect. Like, this is the type of team that has given them trouble over the years, right? Good front seven. When they get the lead, they can contain it. The quarterback who can kind of make a dumb play happen with his legs on 39 and get a first down. It's just a lot of things that have, over the years, have been a nice recipe to at least challenge the Pats. I don't understand. It was another weird defensive game plan by the Pats where basically Bortles, if he doesn't throw to that first guy, he's running, right?
And he's actually a very efficient runner. One of the most efficient runners of all time. People don't realize he's like third all time in efficiency running the football.
Like yards per average.
Yes.
And every time he's ever scrambled against the Patriots, they're completely dumbfounded that it happened. Like, oh my God, I didn't realize you could do that. And it's like, how many times can this guy run for a first down? Edelman comes back week 5. They'll figure out whatever the holes are, and it's a typical pitch.
And you never worry.
They got the gift of the AFC East.
And you never worry about the offensive line because you have the unsung weapon, which anyone knows who knows them. Dante Scarnecchia is one of the most brilliant coaches in all of sports. Would have been a enormously successful head coach if he ever wanted that in his life. He never did. But he is brilliant, and that is one of the coaches that even Belichick defers to as to how good he is. I mean, he is so good at what he does. I mean, so he's a weapon in himself. So right now the Giants should let him come down here for 2 or 3 weeks to see if he could even put his magic on the I don't even know if he could do that to the Giant offensive line. That's how good Scarnecchia is.
I will say this, though. The Giants fans don't want to hear anyone else complain about a left tackle, but Waddle is the worst left tackle Brady's had probably in his entire
tenure. Well, Solder has, for $62 million, Solder's not making a lot of friends right now. He has awful.
That hasn't been great either.
No, he's been awful. He's been absolutely dreadful.
I try not to overreact in September to anything with football because we do it every year. By Thanksgiving, you kind of know what you have. The one thing that I completely 100% believe in is Mahomes. I think he's a superstar.
And but he's also every in the right off. He's got great talent around him. And Andy Reid, yep. I know Andy will. I know what's going to happen. Okay, and he's now the direct descendant of Chuck Knox and Marty Schottenheimer. But in the regular season, Andy comes up with brilliant game plans, and I know it all comes apart in the postseason, but he really does a wonderful job, and he will coach this guy into so many open throws, it'll be unbelievable. And you've seen it. He's got it. We know what kind of arm he has, okay? He has one of the – I know Andy is a friend of mine. Andy told me that this kid has an arm that you would not believe. I mean, he said it's – and he's been around some great quarterbacks. He said this guy's arm is just amazing, and, I mean – really, the kid threw 100 miles an hour as a pitcher. I mean, we know what kind of arm he has. Really has an incredible arm. Can throw the ball 70 yards sitting down. I mean, he's just an incredibly gifted thrower. And they have so many weapons that they're going to be an electric team in the regular season. The question is, can they win in January in a bad weather place if they're in one, or against a really good defense? If things get a little tough, what can happen? That's the question. You wonder about the Kansas City defense, but you know they're going to score a ton of points. I mean, there's no question. A ton of points this year.
How do you feel like before the season my Super Bowl was Chiefs-Rams? Not bad.
Was that your Super Bowl?
Yeah. Still in play. The thing that's going to kill me probably is the Chiefs D, because the amount of time that Roethlisberger had in that week two game was actually unbelievable. There was like 8-9 seconds him in the pocket trying to figure out who to throw to. But at the same time, like the way these rules are this year, you can't touch anybody. You can't hit a receiver over the middle. You can't touch a quarterback. It might just be one of those years where the best offense was the Super
Bowl.
Might not even matter.
I thought this was it. You know, now or never. I think Atlanta had the best team. Now, they've already lost a couple of defensive starters. I thought they had the best talent, but we'll see what
that's
they
over.
Do. Yeah, well,
yes.
I don't know if it's over yet. I don't think it's over.
Nah,
I mean,
they're
you know.
But the Rams are the Rams would have to really blow this.
They're so loaded. You know, listen, I think they can handle – I think they can physically handle anybody. The question is when they get in the red zone, nobody stops Atlanta from moving the ball ever. I mean, nobody has in the whole league. The question is they stop themselves in the red zone. That's the question. Can they score in the red zone? They move it on anybody, but they lost two defensive starters already, which is a rough way to start. But, hey, some teams that we thought would be pretty good, a lot of people like Pittsburgh. I never liked Pittsburgh in recent years because I don't trust the coach. I lean towards Jacksonville just because they had a defense if I didn't want to pick New England. But I thought it would be the Pats of Jacksonville this year. I didn't pick Kansas City to win it. I still wouldn't because of the defense, and I wouldn't pick Pittsburgh. I don't trust that team, and now that team looks like it may be coming apart a little bit. They have plenty of talent, but they just don't seem like they want to play that hard. They really don't. And I wonder about Tomlin nowadays. I really do. I wonder about Tomlin. Jacksonville looks to me like a team that's going to have a big season. Now, you know New England's going to have a big year. They're going to win all the division games. They're going to be good. The question is the game in Jacksonville or is the game in New England? I think really that's the game right there, and that'll be your big playoff game. And I could see Jacksonville this year, although I don't like the quarterback. I could see them having a big run this year. I really could.
I would hesitate with Jacksonville only – I think they look one way when they have a lead, and they can play a certain way and do their things. I still, in my opinion, if you're going to be the favorite in a conference, you still have to be able to play from behind 10 points and stuff like that.
They came close. They thought they should have won last year. You know, they came close last year. They got a lot of talent on that team. Yeah, they came. They got a lot of talent.
We talked about that on my podcast.
Yeah.
They gave that away. They got scared.
They did.
They put
absolutely
the shackles on Bortles. Can I throw one more team at you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the Bengals are good.
I actually think they're good. And I didn't pick them. I didn't really mention them in any way, but I didn't think they'd have a big year. I mean, you knew they had better than 6-win talent, but you didn't think they would be better than 8 wins. At least I didn't. I don't know about you. Did you think they'd be good before the season started?
I did. I actually picked them to win the division and bet on them at +7.
See, I don't trust it. I just don't trust that whole culture and that coach and everything else. And I don't like the quarterback. I don't trust the coach in a big spot. I don't trust the quarterback in a big spot. That's the problem.
It might just be one of those things where everybody else kind of got worse, and they stayed the same, and they've had the same kind of infrastructure in place. I do think Mixon is a better running back than anybody they've had. And, you know, the front seven's good.
And listen, that was a good win against the Ravens. They could have lost the first game if the tight end had held on to the ball. But, hey, listen, you know, they came back. They won the game. First of all, they came back from 23-10. Secondly, you know, you got to get breaks in this league. You know, there's going to be a lot of close games, and you have to get breaks in this league. The problem is, you know what? The problem is the rules and calling the rules. As you said, no one knows what a tackle is anymore. No one knows what a sack is anymore.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. They don't let them play football anymore. I mean, it is utterly – listen, I understand we all see terrible calls, but for the NFL to back up the call in the Green Bay game and then try to tell you that it's the right call when they know that is not the right call, but they don't want to throw their officials under the bus. They know that's not the right call.
What's weird is in the first drive of the Pats game, it was the exact same hit on Brady, and they didn't call it. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the rule
most
is,
times that's not getting called. It's not getting called. That's all there is to it. But then they're not going to throw the guy under the bus this early, and they don't want that because they know if they do that, once they admit that mistake, then everybody just swamps them. They just swamp them. So they're going to stand by. Oh, no, you don't understand. He did the lift and tuck, and he did the lift and tuck and drop. I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. This is football. He did the – everybody who tackles lifts the defender, lifts the running back or the quarterback a little bit as he takes him down. I mean, that's part of technique. I mean, come on now. I mean, he did everything right. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous call. There's no way around it. You know, listen.
My other favorite subplot of the season so far. I just really like
Fitz.
Fitz, you know, that's going to be fool's gold.
But that's great, though. Fitz, he's such a great guy to have that happen.
Great.
How about DeSean Jackson? You want to be in a foxhole with him when he comes out and says, you can't take Fix out of the lineup ever. What are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
I'm getting a ball downfield. You can't take him. So he throws Winston under the bus already because he's like, hey, I'm getting a ball. I'm happy.
And it's not like anyone's rooting for Winston. I've enjoyed that, but I like the Bears' defense last night. Really excited me.
Yes.
It was just fun. It's just like certain teams should just have a good defense. The Giants are kind of like that. There's like four franchises in the whole league where when they have that awesome defense at home and they're getting strips and the crowd's going crazy, it just kind of makes sense. And they're probably the number one draft pick for that. When the Bears are...
And if Davis had a chance to leave Gruden at ESPN, how quickly would he leave Gruden at ESPN right now?
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, that trade was an atrocity when it happened, and now it looks worse.
How funny is that?
After the game, complaining he didn't have a pass rush.
How about the goal?
Yeah, you traded your pass rush.
Wait, how about the goal? We need to find the pass rush. You just traded one of the best players in the league. And one executive, I said this on the air, I won't say who it is, told me that's the worst move by a franchise he's seen in his 20-some-odd years in the league. That's how bad that move was.
The best was when they threw in the second-round pick. So that when they get that second first-round pick, which the Bears will probably be like, you know, be like 25th, and then the Raiders will be 34th. So they're basically moving up 9 spots. Congratulations. You gave up Khalil Mack.
And how about the idea that we need to find the pass rush? That's like the kid who does away with his parents and then goes in and tells the judge, listen, I'm an orphan. I'm an orphan. Yeah, what do you want to, you know, go easy on me? I mean, you go in and say, I need to find the pass rush? I mean, come on.
Both of us are old. You're older than me. It has never worked ever in any sport, ever, that I can remember as a good game plan when you trade one of the best, like, seven guys in the league.
No, absolutely.
It's just never
and you know what? You should do a ringer on that. You should do a ringer theme on that, the 10 greatest ones ever. If you will go back to Wilt Chamberlain, if you go back
never
to
worked.
Any of them, when you trade this super-duper great player, game-changing player, you never gain in that trade. The only one I could think of, and I tell you, he wasn't that great, but... And I'll go back a ways. Montreal was in a pennant race, okay? And they traded Mark Langston. They gave up Randy Johnson, Billy Swift, and another good pitcher. I can't remember who to throw. It was a great trade for the team that got the three players. Langston never won a game for Montreal. You know, he went 0 for 7 or 8 that season, whatever it was. That's, and he wasn't an all-time great, though. But that's the only one I can remember where the team did better. But you are 100% right. If you talk about the 4-for-1, 5-for-1, I'm trading
Doesn't
for the
matter.
Great player, it never works out for the team trading the great player. Never.
And everyone mentions the Herschel Walker trade, but... You know, Herschel Walker was overrated. That was part of the reason
he was overrated, and they got a whole team back.
Yeah, they got like 700 cents of the dollar. I remember in hockey, I think when Lindros wouldn't go to, what was it, Quebec, and they got like a motherload back for him. And that one, I think, worked, and I think...
Well, the NBA ones are the best. Like, they never work in the NBA. Never.
No, I mean, it never worked. Like, never. That was the James Harden. When James Harden got traded, I think I wrote 2 columns when that happened. I was just like, you can't do this. You can't. This has never worked out for the team that actually trades the guy. Chris Paul, you go on down the line. That's, you know, and then you have a situation like Blake Griffin where it's like, well, why doesn't that count? And it's like, because Blake Griffin's not a superstar anymore. It's actually really smart to trade him when they
it's
did.
It's early. But... We're talking with Bill Simmons. One more thing before you go.
Yeah.
Celtics. How excited are people in the town? Now, it's not October yet, but before you know it, the leaves will be turning. How excited are people about Celtic? Are they really excited about Celtic basketball this year?
I think they rank third right now from the intel I have from talking to my friends and family back home.
I mean, you got a huge Red Sox year. You got the Pats always being the Pats, but the Celtics have a real chance to be really good this year.
They will capture the imagination. The problem, you know, they moved the NBA season up, so their season's going to start October 15th. They're the first game. But that's, like, right in the heart of – that could be the ALCS, you know.
Yep. If it's a big ALCS – well, it's going to be a big ALCS no matter who it is, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
so,
but it'll be there. I think that the thing that's so much fun about the Celtics team, just as we head toward the preseason, is just, hey, you know, they finally have everybody in the same team. Hayward's back, Kyrie's healthy. Tatum's even older, and the 9-man team is as deep as any team they've had. You'd have to go back to, like, the Russell era.
And how many games, right now, I won't hold you to it, but top of your head right now, we'll do it before the season begins, but how many games right now do you think LeBron James and the Lakers will win?
So I think they're going to be better than people think. I actually think this has worked out really nicely for him because people seem to think that the narrative now is that he's thrown this first season away because they couldn't get a free agent. I am one of the biggest I'm in the Lonzo Ball bandwagon camp. I think he's going to be really good.
That they're going to coexist well together?
Oh, yeah, because Lonzo doesn't need the ball. That's the thing people don't realize.
But he can't shoot.
Like Chris Paul. But he'll be better at it. But he's just so much fun to play with. LeBron's going to love playing with him. I'm telling you.
Right, but what is he going to do with the ball? He can't shoot it.
No, but he's one of the best passers in the league
right,
already.
Right, but you know what?
Fantastic defender already.
Right, but LeBron really wants to pass it. LeBron wants to pass it to you, though. He doesn't want you to pass it to him. He wants to pass it to you.
But then you watch.
That one will surprise me. And the old man will shut up. You think?
Which old man?
The Ball's old man.
Oh, I have a feeling he's going to kind of disappear.
Okay.
That's a big prediction.
You know, that's a big prediction that he's going to disappear because he's usually very chatty.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. Remember when Serena's dad was an issue for a long time,
right.
There, and then all of a sudden we just kind of never heard from him anymore. I have a feeling that's where this is going to go.
Oh, that's a pretty good. That's
he'll
a good,
just
a good
be getting
prediction.
A nice paycheck, not to really be heard from that much.
Oh, okay, so he got hush money. Okay, that's not a bad.
Yeah,
way
I wasn't
to play
talking
it.
Like Goodfellas, like with Billy Bass.
He got hush money. I like that. No, wait, that's a big story. You know, if he got hush money, that's a big story. If he got hush money, I like that.
Put him on the payroll to basically not talk.
Interesting.
And not make a big deal out of things. The other thing is, as Trump found out recently, you don't want to be on the other side of anything against LeBron. LeBron is the most popular team sports athlete we've had in America since I don't know when. Anything he does, people are all in at this point. And LeVar Ball is losing against LeBron.
He can't win. Inside basketball, as far as Ball LeBron, he's got no chance. He has absolutely zero.
Yeah, and it's,
zero chance.
And maybe
zero.
Lonzo gets to the point where he has to, like, you know, separate himself from his family a little bit because it's better for him professionally. I could see that happening too. because
all right.
I'll tell you this: this is the best situation for Alonzo to be on a team with LeBron James. Like
you can't hurt him if he buys in. They're going to play serious basketball for the first time. That'd be nice. Listen, we'll chat when the playoffs begin in just a couple of weeks, and hopefully your team doesn't get to celebrate till they leave town. But we'll see what happens. I wouldn't count on it. I think they'll probably get that celebration in, but we'll try to spill
a little champagne on the mound.
Yeah, stay away from the from the sacred places. See you later. Thanks. Bill
right,
Simmons,
thank you.
Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.